This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 613. I'm Brian Kilby, back. And this time, Skylink's no force in the universe can stop me, or whatever the line was. I don't know. Actually, plenty of things can stop me, like, you know, coughing. So I may have to hit the mute button quite a bit, the cough button. I've been coughing my lungs out. I'm getting over the flu. And a sinus infection. Yeah.
Two flus and a sinus infection, isn't it?
Well, the kid had a flu. I mean, can't count hers.
No, didn't you have two strains?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had influenza A and B. I believe it was H1N1 specifically. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, swine flu. It's ironic. Not because I'm fat, but because of my new job. Maybe because I'm fat, too. So I'm getting over that.
Can we retitle that the ham flu?
It should be the hand flu. That's great. So that was Chris. We also had Rob chimed in. And let's see, Matt's here. Not on video right now. Don.
Hello.
That John DeLuna.
Yep.
And the effervescent Diecast.
Yo. Yeah, because after a couple minutes of him, you need Alka-Seltzer.
Alcohol.
I just realized I haven't gone back and listened to last week's episode. I usually do, and I'm. Do I need to?
Didn't you like post the episode? I would think there'd be like listening to it involved in that.
I mean, I technically heard voices and stuff.
Okay, but I technically hear voices all the time too. That doesn't mean I'm listening to a podcast.
This is true.
It's worth remembering. Next time Brian's not here, he'll just post whatever we say without listening to it.
I have some expectation of you guys. I would, you know, please.
That was mistake number one.
I don't think there was anything that you needed to edit out of that episode.
I haven't gotten any complaints yet, so. Hey,
with expectation comes disappointment.
Disappointment, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he has different levels of expectation for different people here.
Oh, let's not go there. So hey, but you know, you hosted last week, Chris. Thank you for that. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, you got knocked off a video, and I never put you back in until the very end.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was when Eric finally came on, you know, super late into pre-show. Damn it, Eric! Skype automatically put him on video in my place. So, oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lesson learned for next time we have to do something like that again.
Well, you know, next time I'll just wait around for the whole pre-show. Hopefully,
that's the lesson that we learned.
Actually,
that you have to wait until everybody's here.
Lesson learned.
Maybe next time Eric will be on time.
And maybe I'll never be sick again. No, that's not going to happen.
That's a good one.
Oh, kids. Oh, kids. Yeah. Apparently it gets better, you know, but apparently it takes years. So we're almost 1 year into this journey. We're over 9 months away. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, let's see here. What's going on this week? I don't think we have anything to plug other than buy a shirt. I'm wearing my Robot Collector, the G2 shirt. I love it. It's phenomenal. It's super comfy.
You should probably also go check out zonebase.org for Rob Springer's after-action reports each day from Toylanta.
Oh, yes. I missed Toylanta. So we didn't go to Toylanta last year because I think I was broke.
That was RFC.
I think we were broke and like, I don't have money to spend on a convention. But, you know, then we all just happened to, it's like, well, you know, we can just come to Brian's house and have Radio Free CyberCon, which, you know, was a lot of fun. I wish we'd do it again this year on Twitter. What in the world, Don, was that?
Nothing, Brian.
I'm the one.
Nothing at all.
Don, you need a cough. Ahead. You need a cough button. You need.
Never mind. Moving on.
I actually had to use the cough button. So, but it was a lot of fun. And I put on Twitter as just like as a joke because we were trying to figure out like, you know, where we're going to do our next get together, which should be a fan get together, admittedly. But you know, the idea was just for us to get together. I knew, but there are people who really want, you know, to come meet us, which sounds preposterous, but
I know, right?
But like,
who would ever want to spend time with me?
But yeah, but it's like, it's, you know, when we've done panels, it's like full of fans. It's not even people who like don't know who we are. It's like, oh, I heard there's free booze in here. No, it's like people actually want to see us. Which we need to do something. But usually it's like at a convention. None of us are going to TFCon this year. TFCon USA.
Tomorrow.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Now.
Yeah, none of us are going there. So I don't know, next convention we'll hopefully do something. But I put on Twitter as a poll, like, where should we go? And, you know, my favorite idea after talking about it was Nashville. Because
can I remind you about Sushi Train?
Well,
I hate that drive so much.
Yeah. My original idea was Baltimore, because I thought that was pretty central for most of us, but like Chris and John and Rob. But, you know, everybody else is not that bad. But on Twitter, the poll that's what got the most responses was wherever Don lives, which I knew it would be. But
Don, we're all coming over.
I think what we're going to do, and again, this is just for us to get together, but we would podcast and stuff. Some of us may do a cruise next year, which would be a lot of fun. And some of us may not. I don't know. We'll see. We're old, you know. Old people.
I'm ready. I'm, and I got a surprise bonus this week, so I'm like totally ready.
I got a surprise bonus. I still have a job, so
well, that's good.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Start.
Yeah. So that's it's important. But you know, whenever we do something again, like around people, we'll do a get together. But I really do want to get us all back together so we can, you know, have fun together. You know, because, you know, we're old.
Well, bring it to Nashville.
Okay. Okay, let's see here. I guess let's go ahead and jump to who got anything. I'm going to start off. I know Chris wanted to, but I wasn't here last week. I just want to get my one item in, then Chris can go. I got my Encore, the second Encore Big Convoy.
The blue one.
The blue one. I love it.
It's so pretty.
It is so pretty. It makes me happy. So
how many is that, Brian, now?
Four. Five? Four, just four.
How many big convoys do you see, Brian?
Four big convoys.
Actually eight if you take all the shells off.
Yeah, it's true.
So you actually could have eight. Man.
Your video is kind of blue, so it made him look like he was like a neon blue.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. So does that make Big Convoy a pretender? Since he can take off his shell and still run around without him?
Sure, I guess. I mean, people are calling the new Starscream a pretender for the same reasons.
Yeah, so. Why not? Let's say that. But that's it. Chris, go ahead.
Hey!
All right.
So, wow, two good toys.
You're missing one.
So
yeah.
Chris, describe what you got.
So I got Siege Wave 2 Deluxe's six gun Prowl and Ironhide.
Remember, 95% of the audience isn't watching.
They should be at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday, and you know youtube.com/c/radio free cybertron. Yeah, that. I don't know. I just have it in my subscription list. Yeah. I just, you know, go click on the thing and then...
Yeah.
It's like having stuff in your address book on your phone. Like, who remembers email addresses or phone numbers or anything anymore? Because you just push a button and it fills in by itself. That's the way to live.
That is the way to live.
Use external memory, not remember anything on your own, so that when all your stuff crashes, you have no idea what anything is anymore.
Yeah.
And that's how Don was born.
That's how you get Don's. So what do you think, Chris?
So six gun is everything I'd hoped it would be, apart from the QC. Mine was a little bit of a special case. It came out of the package missing one of the pins and the hinges, so I had to get some wire and fix that myself. That was an entertaining little project. But now the wing doesn't come off anymore when you try to flip the hinge. But like six gun's really fun to equip to other figures, and it's pretty good in its own right. The vehicle mode is a lot more separate from what the robot mode looks like than COG, so it's a definite step up there. The one complaint I have about six gun is it doesn't work well with Hound. So
that's unfortunate.
You can take the wings off of Six Gun, the whole wing assembly, and put it on other figures like a backpack. But Hound's backpack has this just enough of an overhang around the central peg to where it won't actually lock in solidly. And you can also use that same wing piece as like a flying wing for figures to stand on. But Goblin's glider feet are too
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Hound's feet are too wide, so if you try to use the middle pegs, you can't actually get it to fit together because there's too much to either side, and it's just, it's a sad state of affairs for Hound because he can't assimilate this so easily like apparently every other thing that exists. But like for Ironhide, Six Gun is brilliant. Because Ironhide has 4 5-millimeter pegs right behind the collar, and you can take a bunch of the different parts of Six Gun and plug them in there. The best for that is the leg cannons, which look really perfect set up as mounted backpack guns, or just good as giant handheld cannons too. Ironhide plays super well with Six Gun. It's like they were really designed for each other, and I'm pretty cool with that because Ironhide's weapon, this missile launcher hammer thing, like, it's kind of okay. It's an interesting idea, I guess, to go beat things with missiles. I mean, what could go wrong? But like, I'm very happy to have a lot of different options for equipping Ironhide with better weapons, like a giant fist made from Six Gun's abdomen and pelvis.
So, like, I know in the movie Ironhide's specialty is weapons. Isn't that the same thing in G1? Isn't that what's on his tech spec?
Security.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was security for the first 2 years of the toy line, and then I think Cup was the security character for 86 onward.
Yeah,
something like that.
Ironhide died in the line of duty.
I mean, all I remember, like, what I remember most of Ironhide is in the cartoon, he was the one who had all the things pop out of various compartments whenever somebody needed, you know, a gadget for a special task.
His gadget man.
Which with all the 5-millimeter ports all over the place, I am certainly hoping for like an aftermarket accessory kit for Ironhide, you know, to get some of that stuff. Because there's a lot of potential for like not enough productions or any number of Shapeways projects to just like make little radar dishes or, you know, pop up cannons or whatever that you can fit all over this, and it would be a really cool way to fill out the toy a little bit more. But if Six Gun's the best of the wave, which it is, Ironhide is a close second. I'm really happy with this, despite. There's a common problem where the hinged panels on the legs, they're friction hinges and they don't hold together super well. If you know about it ahead of time and you're careful moving them during transformation, it's entirely possible to transform the toy to robot mode or vehicle mode or either direction and not have those come off. But you've got to be very conscious of what you're doing to avoid that. But Ironhide is very nicely poseable. The only thing I really am missing from this would be like a double jointed elbow, and that's almost solely just to be able to pose better with the hammer weapon. Because as it is, if you put it in, you can kind of fake like resting the hammer on the shoulder with the single hinge, but you could do a lot better if there was a second hinge in the shoulder or the elbow. The shoulders have a little bit of play up and down too with the transformation joint, which kind of helps. But like Ironhide's solid, a little bit on the hefty side. It's a whole head bigger than like Prowl, so. They're doing the Studio Series thing where they are varying the size of the deluxes to conform to the Sunbow scale charts as best they can. And Ironhide's making good use of that, being a little bit bigger than everybody else and just feeling better overall. The vehicle mode, I mean, you're either going to be okay with it or not. It will look much better when hopefully they eventually redo this as Energon Snowcat.
Oh, God, please.
Although if they do that, I hope they can retool it a little bit to replace the back wheels with the treads, because it's not going to look right if it's not half track. And then there's Prowl.
Now, Chris, I watched a video on Prowl, and he looks in video better than what we were thinking originally. It looks like it's a little bit better.
I'd wait till you see it in person, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so like. Something about the white plastic is making it not look that great in hand. Like, it really looks like an unfinished surface. Yeah. I think if they had gone a little bit off-white with it, it might have been a little bit better. Of course, then you probably have people complaining that Prowl was off-white instead of stark white, because, you know, there's just no winning.
I saw some... I saw some really good photos on Twitter that really, I can't remember the account. Chris, do you remember the account?
I don't know what photos you saw.
Is yours.
Okay.
that basically really showed off how just boring it is.
Well, since that's obviously going to be smokescreen, do you think, is the mold itself better than what we were thinking to look after looking at it, colors aside?
The proportions are better than like the stock photos and the renders were making it out to be, I think. It certainly does not come across in hand as being so wide across the upper body as it seemed like originally. So I'm glad that it's playing better that way. The legs are not really any fun. The feet have kind of a rounded forward edge, which makes stable standing kind of difficult if you don't get balance just right. And I'm also finding it kind of difficult to get the feet to line up perfectly. So, because of transformation, not only is there the ankle tilt motion, but you can get the feet to go forward and back also. But that extra flexibility does kind of cost a little bit of the stability because you can't count on the feet being lined up exactly right to carry the weight the right way. And of course, the shins are all a clear plastic piece painted over 90%. I would much rather have had opaque plastic used for the canopy and the wheels because they're on the same sprue together and, just paint on the window detailing. Because I would have less concerns about the longevity of those parts with the pinned hinge through them. But the worst thing with Prowl just seems like the tolerances just don't seem quite right. There's a kind of gummy feel to a lot of the joints. And I think if that wasn't the case, it would come off a lot better than it does. Because in some respects, it's very similar to Reveal the Shield Jazz, albeit, fairly simplified. But a lot of the basic movements of the transformation are the same. And you get a similar proportion in the robot mode that even has the hood lock in place, so that's not jumping around when you're trying to pose the arms, but there's just this weird feeling to posing it, and it just, something's off, and it's not quite right, and I can't put my finger on it more why, but I don't like it as much as that Jazz, even though, all things being equal, it seems like I should.
It feels unfinished, maybe. Like,
maybe. I mean, the finish definitely seems unfinished, the plastic. What Prowl has going for it, probably more than anything else, though, is that there's, no battle damage on it.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else?
Although, maybe it could have used that on some of the white surfaces to make them not look as bare plastic as they do. But seeing the Cybertronian print on the doors in person, I definitely am going to hope for a Reaper label set to replace that with normal text, because it just doesn't look right to me in practice.
So no Chromia, then? You didn't get Chromia?
I did not get Chromia.
Intentionally, or was she not
there? I looked at Chromia. I looked at Chromia, and I will wait for my $10 Hasbro Pulse one. That's all I got. I mean, Prowl is the least good of the three I got, but Prowl's not terrible. The vehicle mode still looks like an ugly shoe. There's nothing you can do to fix that, but Prowl could have been a lot worse than it turned out, so it's not a bad wave overall. Six Gun Iron High are definitely worth getting in any case.
So you mentioned toy hacks real quick. It just reminded me that my Fire Chief set shipped today. So yeah, I can't wait to put that together. Hey, real quick, I just want to close the loop on this. John was good enough to Google Ironhide's tech spec, and it's fascinating to me. And of course, they're figuring stuff out as they go. It's not like they had a complete story bible of all things Transformers forever. But Ironhide's tech spec, function security. I am not going to try to do Peter Cullen's voice, even though this is probably my best opportunity to do it. I can't do it. High-tech circuitry is no replacement for guts. Go chew on a microchip is Ironhide's slogan. Prefers action to words. Well, no crap. Oldest, toughest, most battle-tested Autobot. Seems like that would change. Bodyguard Optimus Prime, in charge of guarding anything of importance. Gruff but kind. Trithelium steel skin makes him nearly invulnerable to attack. Nope. shoots a variety of liquids from supercooled nitrogen to superheated lead. Has sonar, radar, radio wave detector. We do too. They're called eyes. Slowest and most fragile of the group. Interesting. What?
Well, wait a minute. How can
you be nearly invulnerable and the most fragile?
It's so weird.
At the same time.
Yeah, hold the bus.
Well, you can't shoot him, but he might fall apart under his own power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you were saying
just like earlier about,
yeah, thank you. What y'all were saying earlier about like non-F productions, if they just look at the accessory pack that came with Masterpiece Ironhide and siege them up a little bit, there's all the stuff you need as far as what to make.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of official stuff to draw from for that, even before looking to, like, obscure cartoon things to try to fill something out. Like,
that turns Siege into
a verb. You could get a pack out of, like, an arm cannon, a radar dish, and the gun like the G1 toy had. You know, all of which were things that came with the Masterpiece, and you could get a solid little accessory kit out of that.
Yeah.
When you say siege them up, it just makes me think like you want to battle damage them up, because that's what it translates
or
to.
You want to trap him in a fortification somewhere until he starves to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't want your add-on parts to be completely clean looking without something surface details to tie it into the figure. Like, right. I look like crap, but my weapons are fine.
Okay. I want to jump in front of Don.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something that I'm pretty sure no one else got, except maybe Dinobot Maximize in the chat. I got the Omega Supreme card out of Loot Crate, which is
nice.
The only way to get this for the Transformers trading card game.
Chris got it too.
Oh, man.
Chris got one too. But yeah, only way to get this card, and it is the size of the Metroplex card.
Oh, nice.
And has some nice art on the back. I didn't open it out of the wrapper yet. Chris, how come you didn't open yours yet? Or did you open it?
Because it just came this afternoon.
Oh, okay. I already put the unboxing up on RC Reviews yesterday.
Yesterday or the day before.
Oh, day before. It was Monday. Yeah, I put it up Monday. So you can go and check that out. I mean, the whole reason I got Loot Crate was for this card.
Yeah. I don't know why that my crazy newfound baseball card obsession hasn't clung to the Transformers trading card game. Now that I think of it, it really could.
Yes, but isn't it fortunate for you that it hasn't?
Yeah.
And then other than the card, which is absolutely awesome, I'm so stoked to actually have that, I got the Lego Optimus Prime.
Yeah, 20 bucks.
Oh,
21,
that's so nice.
$21 at Walmart, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was like $21.97 at Walmart or something.
I'm glad you mentioned it as Optimus Prime. Now I can convince myself to, buy it.
Yeah.
So Optimus Prime and Jetfire.
Or Spacey, if you want to go GoBots.
Yeah, it's, yeah. For people not watching, it's the Lego Creator 3-in-1. It's the semi-truck with the space shuttle.
I can even go more obscure. That's actually Chaos, a dread launcher from the later line of GoBots, because he was a launch platform and a spaceship.
Wow.
So that's
awesome, Don.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Also, the colors on that truck could also be kind of considered close to Rhino from Mask, if you look at the way some of the striping is done.
So I am genuinely impressed. I just don't have the energy to convey that in a way that doesn't sound sarcastic. But Don, that's really awesome.
To be fair, like, you idle at sounding sarcastic and just go up from there.
Yeah, there you go. That's fair.
I don't think you can do sincerity.
Oh, Chris. Yeah, I can't.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't do that. Anything else, I guess?
Nope, that's it.
Don.
Okay, I got some off-topic stuff I'm going to show off real quick.
And Don, real quick, go ahead and do it. You know why? Because there's no news. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. And thanks. Yeah, I went last week. I took me a me day and went down to Greensboro. Went to Acme Comics in Greensboro there on Longdale Drive. Spoke with my friend Jim.
Thank you for looking for the stuff for me, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. They had a sale on. In honor of Miss Marvel Captain Marvel starting that day. Sorry, wrong person. Captain Marvel starting that day. They had half off all their female statues. And
oh, that sounds like
this bad idea.
Oh yeah, here it comes. Segment of the year.
Don has like a giant red Sonya that's like life size.
No,
Queen's Blade.
I picked up my favorite rendition of Supergirl from Superman the Animated Series.
Nice.
And I also picked up Cloak and Dagger.
Less tasteful.
But actually,
I got them both for $45, which is basically half off. Nice. So I got both statues for $45 because of the sale. I'm a huge Cloak and Dagger fan, and
we know
there's not that much product for them.
We know.
Are you more Dagger or more Cloak?
They work. It's a team. You kind of take them as a team. Neither one of them works solo. So that's what I got off topic. I'm really happy I got those. I basically BOGO on that one. What I got on topic, thanks to Bubblegum Crisis on Twitter, I now have an official Masterpiece Red Alert, the first one. I had a KO in my collection. It broke. And Red Alert is just not one of those that's like super high priority for me to replace him. But it was a really good price. Now I have an
Is that the anime version or is that
no, the... This is the first one.
Okay. What broke on your first one?
It was the window that attached to the arm. The whole window just cracked there at the door frame.
Yeah.
So basically, he had one window rolled down. But that was the KO that I had because I didn't want to double dip at the time on another of the sideswipe mold. So the KO was fine for me for Red Alert. But I got that again thanks to Bubblegum Graces. Thanks to Ed McKay's in Greensboro on the same trip.
Mm.
I did a tweet about this. Energon Tidal Wave, $10.
That's such a good looking toy.
So jealous.
He has does not have the missiles, but I did reach out to Mega Toy Fan, and he's checking to see if he's got any missiles for me. And for Blade Raider, our missiles! He knows what that means. Energon Tidal Wave. I sold him years ago. Kind of wish I never did, and then $10 at Ed McKay's with Ramjet, just no missiles.
Yeah, I'll echo my opinion on Twitter. I would prefer to find that for the same price with the missiles versus the Minicon.
Well, there is a missile on eBay for $25, but a missile for 2.5 times what I paid for the figure, I can get by.
John, yeah. I got one new in the box. I'll sell it to you for $100.
That's not how this works. You can, no. Anyway, thanks to some. I wasn't going to pick this guy up, but since I basically saved so much money on the two statues, I mean, I wasn't planning on getting them, but basically I saved a lot with the sale. I decided to go ahead and get Leader Class Jetfire. I found him at Target, so I went ahead and got Leader Class Jetfire. I don't have any plans on combining him with the matching Optimus.
Well, then you're doing it wrong.
But this is a better looking Optimus than the first one they came out with, and I'll probably just throw it up on eBay and sell it unless someone needs that Optimus, because I think this one is a better looking figure than the first one. The first one's awful dark, and I've seen comparison photos between the two, and this does look better.
They're all dark. It's movie Optimus.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Well, he got darker as he went along too.
Yeah.
Well, the saturation, it's just the color of the plastic. And the last thing I got, it's been a prime kind of day because I also picked up Bumblebee Movie Optimus.
Oh, the good one.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen, so I got the only one. Rampage was there, and I said, nope, don't care, bye-bye. And walked off and left the four Rampages for somebody else because I just don't care. Build
Devastator.
That's not my Devastator, and I don't want to spend that much money on something that I don't think looks good, but again, that's just
Don, if you don't build the Devastator, how are you going to, like, when the Dr. Wu Wrecking Balls kit comes out for that next year,
It'll be even more money I save. And I also picked up an Incredibles coffee cup at GameStop for $2. So that's all that I got.
Cool. Matt.
So I also found Siege Deluxes. And I got Ironhide.
I have not seen a single one.
The Chris was very right about the tolerances on Ironhide. Those panels on his legs, like, it takes no force at all. They just, they fly off at a moment's notice.
They need to pin.
Right out of the package. They should have been pinned. Other than that, I really like Ironhide. He's a good, solid deluxe.
Bring on Ratchet.
Yeah, and I got 2 6 guns. Because.
Because.
Yeah. 6 gun is really nice. Good range of motion on him. I got him in a nice deep kneeling pose right now. The thing about 6 gun is I have found that the 5 millimeter tolerances from figure to figure on my weaponizers are not always the greatest.
Yeah.
Like I got Hound back there with Shockwave's armor and Cog and 6 gun all attached, and some of them are being held together with weight better than, you know, the 5 millimeter ports.
Ah.
That's a little unfortunate, but as a figure, 6 gun is fantastic. I love it.
Well, Matt, yeah, let me ask you.
Go ahead, Don.
Right. Both you and Chris, would a little floor polish on those hinges help the pop-off part, or would you want to use something else?
I don't know that any amount of floor polish is going to do that. I think it's the way it was molded.
It's too shallow?
So with Ironhide, the consensus I'm seeing is that people are finding that the cylinder part of the hinge might be a little bit too big on one side, and it's pushing apart the outside of the hinge on the other side. So potentially shaving that a little bit might let that resettle back into its original shape, and the fit might get a little better then. But if that's the case, adding floor polish would actually make the problem worse, because it would end up pushing those sides out even more. Now for the 5 millimeter ports Matt's talking about, floor polish could help that, because you could thicken up those pegs a little bit, and that might make the grip a little bit better.
So for certain toys, and it may make it impossible to use on different ones. It's hard to say. It's going to be a toy-to-toy basis with this line, apparently. I saw Prowl, and personally, to me, it looked like a Cyberverse toy in a Generations box.
I mean, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that.
I may have picked up a Chromia, but both of the ones they had there had deco problems. Mm-hmm. Saw Soundwave and considered it, but he has battle damage over painted details. And right now, the way it looks, I'm drawing the line. I am not going to remove battle damage from my figure and then have to
repaint it,
replace paint that I. Detail paint that I took off. Yeah. I'm just not in for that. And Starscream looked horrendous.
Well, hey, man,
I think I've got everything from Wave 2 that I'm going to end up getting, and that's 2 deluxes.
Yeah. Well, man, I saw people talking on Wave 2 on Twitter about Wave 2 on Soundwave. Some people were saying that Magic Eraser is one of the safer ways to try to remove that battle damage without removing the paint, as far as a lower risk.
I don't see how.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's all paint.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I was reading it wrong. But that's what I thought I was reading.
It may have been more specifically in reference to the chest door.
Okay.
Removing the cracks and scratches from there, although... I found with some light testing that the paint on the transparency will kind of just scrape off pretty easily anyway.
Oh, okay.
So, anything else?
No, just those 2 deluxes.
Okay, so I want to point this out.
You bought?
Yeah, you know. Don's Energon Tidal Wave really made me want that toy, and I checked eBay, and... It's a little more than $10, you know. I don't have it. I don't think I have it. Actually, I may have it. But what I don't have is a Micron Legend Shockwave.
That'll run you a little more.
Yeah, a little more. So I was looking at the price on that. I'm like, God, I want it. I just don't. On eBay, I can only find it for like $150. I'm like, not buying it.
So yeah, so do like a saved search on that and just kind of keep an eye on it, because those do come up for like what I will call legitimate sale.
Yeah.
And then they're $50, $65.
So, yeah, and of course, I'm like, now that I'm on eBay, I want to buy something. So I thought, okay, I thought back to my wish list of things I don't have. And I thought, okay, the Transformers Club Piranhacon. And like everything was like $200 or $300. I'm like, I bet it's cheaper than that. So I did a save search. No, I did a completed search or sold search, and I saw one that had sold for as little as $100. I'm like, I'll come back to it. Then my mental Rolodex just immediately went to the next thing I wanted, which is God Neptune. And I found God Neptune for $100, and I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it. So
good call.
I'll have God Neptune. I'll have that for next week.
Well, that'll be fun at least.
Yeah. I've always wanted that. Yeah, so I know Triplett, when he comes over, he'll be jealous.
Good.
Yeah. You know, John's chatting right now in our internal Skype chat, saying that we need to do more eBay hunting. We do. It is fun.
He also describes his good audio, much like the sound of his typing.
His audio, his typing sounded great.
Well, thank you. It was and no misspellings.
No, so, none.
Yeah,
none. Hey,
yeah, I missed a period in there or three, but that's okay.
There's no news, so let's. Rob, you have something?
Soundwave went up on Amazon. I think it was Saturday for retail, so I grabbed that, and he's decent. Just my basic impression of him is it's a good thing you're so pretty in robot mode, because I'm not a big fan of either of the alternate modes that are, you know, on the box, either, you know, shown or hidden. And it's got some tolerance problems for some of the various tabs on the backpack and the shoulder for me. So that was not ideal. And also it just kind of really bothers me that for the unless I'm doing something wrong, you cannot actually point the shoulder mounted missile launcher exactly forward, because it will interfere with the backpack if you do.
Yeah, you have to let the backpack be pushed out slightly on that side to get that to line up straight.
Yeah, that is intensely annoying. But other than that laundry list of things I don't like about it, it has got a really nice robot mode, and I'm happy to have it for that, because I realized along the way that I do not actually have a generation Soundwave of any type otherwise, because way back when they announced the Voyager Fall of Cybertron Soundwave, I sold my deluxe War for Cybertron Soundwave and then got Sound Blaster instead.
Oh,
yeah.
So as a Soundwave because I needed a Soundwave, it's not bad.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. John, did you get anything?
Please say yes. I got Blue Big Convoy, but thanks to TF Wiki, I'll give you some history on him, because my memory was fuzzy on where he came from. Like, at first in my head, I thought he was like an eHobby exclusive, but no, he was a Lucky Draw item from 20 years ago.
Yep.
1999, which was 20 years ago. So he's got a weird ID number, LGEX. But I haven't had a chance to open him. I'm looking forward to it. But so he, in the eBay comics, eHobby comics, he's a Blue Big Convoy that calls himself Blue. So, you know, he's a thinker. And he led a multiversal Primus Vanguard against dark enemies and extra dimensional invaders. He carried a Matrix, which makes sense, and a sword, a Matrix sword. Which is, it's a bummer he doesn't come with a sword, right? So,
I think that sword comes with the Magna Convoy Classics.
Oh, it's that sword
release.
I think. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, there's lore here. Yeah. That makes sense, because anyway, one thing leads to another, and he bites the big one, and then he basically passes on like the mantle and the responsibility of being a Blue Convoy to a Magna Convoy with that Matrix sword. So. It all works together. In other words, you have to display them together, I guess.
I need to buy it on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, so pretty, Brian. Yeah.
Well, hey, John, you might want to check that Blue Convoy. The sword could be in the trunk.
It's God, Don. Oh, God, $400? No.
Wow, really? Yep. He's great. He was $100.
Mine didn't cost that much, Brian.
$160 is the lowest price for this. Yeah, oh, dear.
He was like $100 or $100.
Yeah, and I tried to convince Brian to buy one new, too, but he
wouldn't
do it.
Stupid.
I think pound for pound, that's still my favorite post G1 Optimus Prime, the classics one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm too far in it with too many like variants on my shelves. Although the Siege one is really a well executed Optimus, I have to admit. If you like ignore like the battle damage and the paint and all that stuff, like it's a really well engineered Optimus Prime, I got to admit. But I don't think I have the appetite for 8 recolors of it.
It looks like it sells for about $98 if you can just wait around for it. So, yeah. Okay. $98.
You save search.
Yeah. Oh, whenever TF Source has had it up, they've sold it for $98. Okay.
How long ago was the last time that happened?
A month. Less than a month.
Yeah, so, you know, they might not even have any more now.
They didn't have it on their website. I already checked. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. I guess we're going to talk about news.
It won't take long, at least.
No.
Yeah.
I'm hyper disappointed, amazingly disappointed by this first news item.
I don't know. What were you expecting?
What Don has.
But in movie flavor.
Oh, yeah. The legendary Nemesis Prime 7-Eleven exclusive. It's not the 7-Eleven convoy. It's just like Nemesis convoy in the.
And I see that even on the upscaled version of this mold, you can't get that centerpiece of the two windows to quite line up right.
Oh,
yeah.
Fail.
Yeah. I wanted a new 7-Eleven convoy that I could afford. This is not it.
I wish they would have used the new Bumblebee Optimus Prime.
I would buy that. Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking that might end up being Tokyo Toy Show this year.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. A black repaint of that's coming.
Yeah, oh, yes.
It has to.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The death. The news.
I'm not a fan of that mold, actually. The Bumblebee Optimus Prime. It's okay.
That's because
you're
wrong.
Yeah.
There are more, God, in the MP... 10 Atmos line, their new versions of convoy in different colors. At least some of them are cool looking. There's one that looks like Hooligan.
Chester Cheetah?
Looks like Hooligan, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, it's a stretch. It's the right colors, more or less. So it looked like G2 Hooligan. He's Chester Cheetah, or he's Tony the Tiger. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I kind of like that.
You would.
Yeah.
They're all awesome. I don't care for that one. I wouldn't get that one, but the next one
Tiger,
I would definitely
Tiger
get.
Camo Convoy is...
Oh, wait a minute. I'll do what now?
So wait, why is that one Tiger Camo where the one that actually has Tiger stripes is Animal Convoy?
Because that's a lot... Because it has leopard spots.
But that's like... That...
This one has snakes.
I don't get it.
I don't get the second one at all.
Yeah, you're right though.
It's camouflage, but I don't see anything tiger about it.
Well, it's camouflaged on like the truck stripes.
You know, I really, honestly, right now wish that like Sam Beckett would like leap into the 20-year-old version of me and have me not start Radio Free Cybertron, so that I would not be sitting here in this chair tonight.
Okay,
telling the story.
But what you're not considering is, what if he leaped into you 20 years ago and helped you to start Radio Free Cybertron instead?
He was the evil leaper then.
That's the wrong that he put right.
Oh, God, maybe you're right. I don't know. This news item depresses me.
The evil leaper would have been JD when he helped you bring back Radio Free Cybertron.
Hey, random aside, do we know anything more about the evil leaper other than it's the evil leaper?
No. It was basically speculated that God was the one that having Sam leap around, and the evil leaper reported to basically the devil.
Wow.
Is what the running theory was at the time, because in one of their Halloween episodes,
the Alt-Doc Quantum Leap.
Oh yeah. And
I need to go back and rewatch some.
Yeah.
Some Quantum Leap.
Yeah, there was a Halloween episode in which this person could see through the skies and see that it was actually Sam, and he says, "How dare you go around putting right what I put wrong?"
Oh dear God.
Interesting.
That was the devil taking the form of L.
Yeah, that's that right. Happened.
Oh
yeah.
God. Okay, so wow, L.
I love it.
Because if Dean Stockwell can do one thing well, which Dean Stockwell can do multiple things well, but if he can do one thing well, it's be evil.
Yeah, Elephant Convoy is the pretty one.
Do we still have to talk about this?
Yeah. I don't like the elephant.
We were trying so hard to change this subject,
like,
Brian.
I think what we need to have happen is Sam Beckett to leap in somewhere where he can get the MP10 mold destroyed.
Yes. And
no, because they can't use the MP45 mold or 44 mold because it's too expensive.
What is that?
Duck Hunter camo is the ugliest Transformer that I have ever seen, and I love it.
Oh, he is bad.
I love it. Terrible. It's horrible. So it's okay. Let me try to explain it for the audio listeners. It's two different shades of green that are. It's not really camo. It's kind of like half his chest is like bright green, half is like forest green
or teal green,
like a checkerboard thing almost.
His gun is orange because, of course, you know, the gun has to be orange.
That's kind of brown. Like, it's not a bright orange. It's
a burnt orange.
Brownish orange.
His feet are the same color. There's some red on the vents on the legs. The helmet's orangish red.
Brown,
whatever. It's amazingly ugly. And
okay. Actually, Brian, I think I can explain. I think I can bring up a figure that I believe people will understand. Think of the MP10 mold. Take the Wheeljack repaint Dead End from Transformers Prime.
Dead End was beautiful.
I'm saying that color.
Take out the yellow
mixture. That color mixture.
Take out the yellow.
On MP10.
Yeah. I love Dead End. I don't see that at all.
If you take out the yellow, I would buy that. Okay, maybe the ugliest one of them all, because it's just so boring, is Viotech Convoy, which is kind of
bath
like
brown.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a desert camo with some purple thrown on it.
It's like a tan desert camo.
Cheddar Cheese Ruination is a close thing that brings up to, you know.
Shattered Glass Cheddar Cheese Ruination. I don't know. It's pretty ugly.
But I will be honest. A few of the sellers I follow out of China have the first version of this that we saw.
The LeBron James.
If they put these up at the price that the LeBron James is one, I will probably get at least one of these, if not two.
Oh, God.
Because they're just...
The Elephant Convoy is legitimately good looking, though.
It is.
Well, actually, I'm looking at the one Brian just talked about, the one I said, the Dead End camo.
Really?
That one. Yeah, that
you
one.
You buy that?
I'm tempted, yeah, just because it's so crazy. That one, and I probably the black and green one, the second one. I kind of want the first one with the stripes, but I don't know. Even if they're regular price, well, the price that I've seen, like $130 is what I've seen the LeBron James one at, I don't want to buy three of them. So I'd have to force myself to at least just get one or two if I can Dynamics it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to get one of these, which I'm not going to get any of them, but if I was going to get one, I'd probably be looking at Elephant Convoy, because that's the one that...
Yeah.
It's an interesting take on, like, the Nemesis scheme, but it's also kind of unique for adding all the white to it and just kind of juggling the elements a little bit.
Like I said,
it actually
Nemesis
legitimately
Magnus.
Looks nice. Yeah, Nemesis Magnus.
Yeah, I like the green and black.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to just move to the next item. Parker Museum in Japan is having a 35th anniversary World of Transformers exhibit on April 1st, from March 15th through April 1st. And there's some photos of stuff. There's like some balloons, and Jack wrote this story, so I don't know how conversant Chris and Rob are. Did you even read it?
I think I skimmed it.
Yeah, so there's an event in Japan. So if you're one of our Japanese listeners, you're probably already aware of it. But 35th anniversary exhibit. What's there? Transformers logo sticker to all paid visitors. That's cool, I guess. Free tiny turbo changer for the first 100 children each day. What defines children? I'm a child at heart. You can win an Art of Transformers poster. You can purchase the Art of the Transformers book. You can purchase movie masterpiece Bumblebee and Ironhide. It sounds kind of like a lame museum exhibit, honestly. I don't know that I would I don't know that I would even go to this. Like what they have in Indianapolis that the Hartmans.
Is that still in operation?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know that it is now, but that seemed much, much cooler than what this sounds like. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just like a little pop-up thing inside a standing, you know, exhibit space.
I like the art here. It says Park Convoy.
Yeah.
If I'm reading this right, it looks like there will be some of the original like packaging paintings there, and also also maybe some of the wooden like mock-ups they use to work out transformations on display. So those things I would like to see.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, and the images they show are the artwork for I think the Japanese packaging for Prime and Megatron, and I would like to see those. That would be nice.
Cool. Okay.
Well, all you have to do is go to Japan between the 15th and April 1st, yeah. And
oh yeah, that's gonna happen.
Yeah, all you gotta do.
Hey, I mean, some of you people are talking about going on a cruise next year.
There's
so,
a big difference,
you know,
than just
I was not one of those people
casually jumping on a plane to go to a Transformers convention. I mean, I would do that. Never mind. Transformers Cyberverse coming to Japan July 19th with new toys. Ooh, new toys, you say? What kind of new toys are we getting?
I don't know if there is actually going to be new toys that we don't have coming for our toy line. They have like prototype level pictures of those. Armor Up toys we saw, like the Optimus that has the jet armor, and the submarine or the battleship Bumblebee, like that stuff. I think that might be what we're seeing as new toys.
You
here.
Sank my Bumblebee. Yeah.
But it, I mean, this is even so. This is noteworthy because I don't think any of Cyberverse had hit Japan before this. So it is.
No, it hasn't.
It's going to be available now.
Yeah, they're desperate.
We'd actually been questioning whether Japan was going to get Cyberverse at all.
One of the things are bad if they get like the authentic stuff. Mm. Oh, that would be yeah, that'd be pretty bad. Okay, so
I'm just imagining them getting like really like beautiful Japanese packaging and people paying through the nose to get those things.
That would be hilarious.
What I would more imagine happening is they would get the authentics, but they would get them sold as like candy toy models.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Release them through Kabaya or something.
So in Hasbro Pulse, there was an article on the behind the scenes design of Omega Supreme. Any interesting notes from that, Chris?
Well, so like the first question posed in this is how tall is Omega Supreme? And the answer is kind of interesting because it's like, well, you know, people measure the height at different places. So that's basically going ahead and telling us that their, you know, 2 foot range you're talking about is probably to the top of the wings, not the top of the head.
That's what I figured.
But they have a picture of it next to G1 Omega Supreme. And I was doing some digging and found one account that has the head height of G1 Omega Supreme is about 10.5 inches. And based on that, I would guess that the head height of the Titan class Omega Supreme is probably 19 to 20 inches.
That's fair.
With an overall height of around 22.
That's
still going to be a tiny bit bigger than Devastator, I believe.
Yeah, it's sure something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it. Okay.
There's going to be a part 2 to this next week, so we might find out something more interesting then.
Okay, cool. Hey, so Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon, buy something, please. It's, you know.
You can pre-order Omega Supreme.
Yeah,
even.
tfradio.net/Siege Omega, or Jetfire at tfradio.net/Siege Jetfire, or Studio Series Optimus Prime at tfradio.net/SS38.
Everyone should get a Jetfire.
It looks great. It really does. Yeah, okay. And I actually I have a order that I placed today, so hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll show up on Chris's affiliate link tomorrow. Let me know. You'll know it if you'll recognize it, I think. So
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, first up, XB reviewed the first issue of the new Transformers comic, which is out today at comic shops.
Oh, what do you guys think?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That good?
Oh, dear.
Those kind of sounds do not make a good prognosis, Brian.
No. It's extremely exposition heavy to the detriment of anything else. It's certain, like, of course, exposition has a place in an introductory issue, but, like, there's a right way to do it and not right ways to do it, and this did it not the right ways?
I try not to compare things, like, directly to other, you know, the way other people have done this, because everyone should have their own approach, but it's very hard not to. And think about all the Transformers comics we've gotten where we've had exposition that not only, you know, reveals the plot, but reveals character and reveals a lot of other things at the same time. And it's just, it's what we have here is, it is in many ways a very basic first issue of a, you know, modern, written for the trades, like, big deal comic, and the big twist on the last page is a very first issue big twist. It's
incredibly formulaic.
Yeah, it is not standing out for me yet. I'm not writing off the whole thing yet, but this is something that is going to take a little while to build up steam, I think. So that just, I'm trying very hard not to judge it solely by this first issue, and I would encourage everybody else not to do the same.
So what?
Yeah, I mean, it's two issues per month, so it's not like there's going to be a long wait for this to pick back up again. But even so, if I was just like a regular reader of this, picking this up for the first time, I honestly cannot say that I would be like motivated to go back in 2 weeks and get the second issue just based on reading this one.
So what you're not telling me is that the Autobots are the masters of evil.
Correct. That's exactly what I was thinking, Brian.
Yes.
I was thinking Thunderbolts. I was thinking Thunderbolts because Prime takes off his helmet and it's Starscream underneath.
No, it's the other twist Thunderbolt that happens at the end of every.
Yeah, Thunderbolts is fantastic.
It's the other twist that happens at the end of every single first issue for the last 20 years.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, to be completely fair, I like some of the things they're introducing in terms of world building, but it's all in the manner of telling you rather than showing you.
Yeah.
For like 90% of it. And there's no need to do that. I don't think there's a need either to present everything they presented all at once. Like, this is stuff that could easily be paced out better over the course of like an initial story arc,
and
still get the information that you need to you as you need it, not just dump everything on you at once.
And we still have issues of Transformers versus Star Trek and GoBots, right, coming out. So
I don't think GoBots is versus, done, but the last issue of Transformers versus Star Trek is out.
I need to pick it up then. Okay, so, yeah, sweet. Okay. I guess is that it, Rob? Anything else?
We've also got the usual Weibo leaker sent images of the box art for Jetfire and Omega Supreme. Luckily, no purple marker was involved.
I think that's a different leaker.
I think it's the same guy, but I would have to look, and I don't care enough to check.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you care that much?
No. And Jack's got a gallery up for Generation Selects Megatron.
I really like that toy.
How is the box art like a new thing? Like, we saw that at...
These are just, you know, clear flat scans of it.
Okay.
So this actually gives you enough of a look at it to see that both pieces of art are different angles on the same scene, basically. Because if you look close in Omega Supreme's, Jetfire is up in the sky over Omega's shoulder. And then much more obviously on Jetfire's, Omega's on the ground still fighting. So like it's two shots from the same event.
That's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Realizing that is actually one of the reasons I went ahead and actually like made a, you know, big deal post about that and put it in the notes, because like that's at least one cool element about this that we probably had not really caught on to before.
Yeah, very cool. And of course you mentioned Jack's gallery of the Megatron, the Comet Hero figure. I like it. It's good. People should consider it. It's still available.
And probably will be for a long time.
For a long time. Okay. you can find us at tfradio.net. You can get the show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/613. It's funny that, never mind, I was going to observe that today is 313 and 613, but, you know, really means nothing. So it's just added time that I've taken from your life. You can find us on Twitter at TF Radio. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Instagram at TF Podcast, all that stuff. I'm on Twitter at B Kilby. And on Instagram at Brian Kilby. So, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, first of all, you should check out playwithphotography.com this week, because I have a full gallery up of Siege 6 gun, showing a lot of the weaponizer combinations with some of the other toys, and also different ways to combine it with COG to make a super robot out of them. So that's always fun. It took a while to actually come up with something that would actually use all of the parts in a reasonable way, rather than just making it like one robot has the other one equipped to it. So fun challenges. Otherwise, you can follow at Play With Photos on Twitter for my random toy photography, some of which turns out to be preview shots for galleries that come up. And also, you can check me out on Instagram if that's more your thing for, you know, your social media platforming. That's Instagram.com/playwithphotography. And if you like the work I'm doing and want to show your support, you can contribute on a monthly basis for as little as $2 at patreon.com/playwithphotos. Oh, and I'm on Twitter personally as ChrisRTXV. You can follow me for things like figuring out the heights of toys from photos and tweets about Gundam Wing and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Just early this morning, I was doing some out of context screenshots from Deep Space Nine and Next Generation using the funny captions on Amazon Prime Video.
Cool.
So if you want to see Chief O'Brien's baby just randomly being sad for no apparent reason, like, you know, totally hit me up for that.
Awesome.
Oh, because Keiko. I mean, that's...
Oh, no, Keiko was gone that week. That's probably why the baby was sad. Yeah. Oh.
Keiko is why O'Brien was sad.
and O'Brien is why Keiko is sad. So it's a whole circle of life.
That's true. Very true. Also, follow Swear Trek. It's worth following.
Yeah, it's surprisingly funny sometimes.
It is. Also, Jason's not here. He's at Jason S. Kirk on Twitter. And at jasonskirk.com, Rob Springer at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter, zonebase.org, diecast.
You can follow Melvar at on Twitter at melvar.com. That's 3 L's, 2 R's.
And no.com.
Or no.com. Yeah, Twitter.
I just had to throw that in there. Job.
I had one job. One of my jobs out was on the internet. Recording RFC reviews, where I did the Loot Crate unboxing, where I got the Omega Supreme card. If you want to check that out, you can go to tfradio.net/reviews or youtube.com/RFC reviews. And you can also like my page on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Cool. Matt's not on Twitter. if you noticed last week, whenever I try to mention Matt on Twitter, I just point out that he's not on Twitter. I don't know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do. I did that on purpose. John.
That John D everywhere.
Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Viewers and Flail Throughs. Flail Throughs is also the name of my YouTube channel, where I cover Gundam Battle Operation 2. Weekly update for that game goes up every Thursday. And the I have a Patreon for that as well. If you want to see any specific mobile suits or color schemes on those, you can drop me a couple of bucks a month and I will do that. And of course, the video work that Chris and I do for T-Formers can be seen on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Awesome. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Cool. Okay. Well, I guess that's it. We will see you next week, even if there is no news.
Which there won't be.
There are 4 lights. We'll see you then. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.